my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 384. As this week, we bring you the second hour of WWF Royal Rumble 2002. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave. Returning to the show this week is our good friend Shane Shadows, promoter of Championship Pro Wrestling and host of the Independent Rewind over on YouTube. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to Atlanta, and relive a simpler era where millionaires used to fight in the street instead of settling things on Twitter?
Absolutely. I can't wait. I've been waiting all evening for the call, and let's rock and roll.
Yes. I was supposed to, I was sick when I was on the recording date, like over the past few days. I was going to do this with a different host. I've been sick. Wife's been sick. The kids have been sick. Oh, gosh. And, you know, and now we're going to be snowed in. So that's how it is. Was going to put in a filler episode. Then decided, you know, in the time it takes me to edit a filler episode together, I can call Shane. And here we are, Shane. Let's see. What else? What other important news do we have? We got back on the podcasting charts, wrestling podcasting charts in China, as Donald Trump would say. So thanks to John Paz, who filled in last week for that. We're living in interesting times, Shane. So apparently here in 2022, we're big in Taiwan and we're big in China. We're playing both sides.
Well, we were big in Argentina a few weeks back when I was last co-hosting.
So I know. It's going to be a worldwide phenomenon. And I think thank you very, very much for listening as we continue with the road to episode 400. And of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback. You sign up this month at the on the Time Traveler tier. We'll give you one of the bonus episodes. We'll throw in one of the bonus episodes for free. It's one of the ones Jim and I did just to show we care. It doesn't matter what tier you sign up with. You'll get the archives of all the episodes in advance and episodes without advertising in them. And that's the way you like it. Okay. So let's see here. We're back. It is January 20th, 2002, and we'll do all the culture stuff that we do around this time. So you remember 2002, Shane? We were running a wrestling promotion together, for one thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
yes, we were. Yeah. Or 2002.
What's that? Yeah, we were running. We did that fifth anniversary show over in Kaiser. I remember that. That was a good one.
I think it was late February 2002. I think we had that one over in Kaiser with Nikolai Volkoff and the Nature Boy Buddy Landale.
Oh, yeah. That was 2002? I thought 2002 was when we did the show with Julio De Niro and Chris Nowinski in the main event.
Maybe you're right.
That was a good one, too. Okay. In any case, the other stuff that some of you might remember from 2002, New York Times bestsellers, One Door Away from Heaven by Dean Koontz. I've never read a Dean Koontz novel, but he was at number one. Nonfiction number one was Bias by Bernard Goldberg, who a former CBS reporter who wanted to tell everybody that the news media tends to slant stories one way or the other instead of covering them straight. Crazy talk. I know. Crazy talk. Number one song on the Billboard charts, January 20th, 2002. You Got It Bad by Usher in its first week at number one. Let's see. Yeah. I had to look that up. Usher's one of those guys you're like, you know, I think I sat down and watched one of his concerts on HBO with the first wife, and it was like, oh, I vaguely remember this song. I vaguely remember that song. Okay, that doesn't suck too hard. I was okay with it. Yeah. Top movie in the country, Black Hawk Down, starring Josh Hartnett and Eric Bana, I guess.
Bana?
Yeah.
And it really doesn't take much imagination to guess what the adult version of that title was. So
No, it really doesn't. No, so we don't have to do that. Oh, now, yeah, now, top news story. Amnesty International accuses the United States of violating the human rights of suspected terrorists being held at our secret military prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The secret prison, yeah. All right, well, anyway, yeah. I wonder if anything will ever come of that. Actually, I think the prison's still. I think the prison's still open. So get your answer. All right. The NFL playoffs, much like we are now. If you were watching the Rumble, you probably had just gotten done watching the playoff game with the St. Louis Rams hosting the Green Bay Packers. The Rams were the defending champions, and in that game, Brett Favre had not one, not two, but three interceptions returned for touchdowns, two of them by Aeneas Williams. It was not Brett Favre's day. The Rams won 45-17. Also, January 2002, UFC 35 happened on January 11th at Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. The show, apparently the story behind the scenes, there was a round of food poisoning. The hotel had a MMA-themed restaurant called the Octagon, and apparently people who ate at the there was a round bout of food poisoning, which was traced back to that restaurant that weekend. It wiped out several fighters, trainers, and staff members. Good times. Good times. So on that show, Marilla Bustamante beat Dave Menny with a second-round TKO to win the UFC middleweight title. And lightweight champion Jens Pulver beat BJ Penn by split decision. Okay. There you go. All the memories there, Shane.
Absolutely.
We'll pick it up after the commercial timeout. And this is where Shane and I are going to spend a few minutes talking about our patron, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Yes, some of you might be aware, we have our Patreon up. This is so that what we've done on our Patreon is we have talked to Pro Wrestling Torch's Wade Keller and worked out a deal where the archives of Wayback Playback are all up together in one spot, and you can go and subscribe. And for a there's a couple different price points, but either way, you get the entire archive, all 384 episodes, to download and to listen to at your leisure. You get if you're going to subscribe every month, you'll get all the episodes in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed and without commercials. And you know how annoying commercials are. You're listening to a commercial right now, correct, Shane?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And if you're on the Black Scorpion tier, which is a mere $10 a month, you get bonus episodes as we do them, including the one that Shane and I will be doing and putting up, hopefully by the time you're listening to this, as we'll finish off the bonus episode for the November 25th, 1989 episode of USWA Challenge from the Sportatorium. And
which I probably watched when it was first on.
Yeah, probably did, with a red hot main event that can't wait to get to, which is superstar Bill Dundee and flamboyant Eric Embry taking on gorgeous Gary Young and Billy Joe Travis. Wow.
Billy Joe Travis was really good back during that era that he had just turned. I remember that because I had USWA was in syndication where I lived.
Yeah, I know.
He was the one who was feuding with Eric Embry. I thought he was very enjoyable.
He used to have
Gary Young was an underrated talent himself.
So yeah, all this, I am always impressed by, you know, how many people listen to the show who either weren't fans or weren't around for when these big major wrestling shows happened. But you want the entire story, and you want all the episodes that Jim Valley was on, and all the episodes that Shane Shadows was on, and all the episodes that I was on. This is how you do it: patreon.com/waybackplayback. And we thank you for your support, and thank you for subscribing to the show. And if you have friends who you think would be interested, tell them about this show. It's something that the whole family can enjoy together, depending on what kind of family you have, of course. So thank you.
Family like wrestling. Yeah.
So thank you, and thanks to the Creative Control Network. Thanks to Joe Feeney and the Creative Control Network for distributing this podcast all over the civilized world. All right. So we are at 36 minutes, 26 seconds, and we'll pick up where we left off, which is a wide shot of the ring, getting ready for the entrance of one of the owners of the WWF, Mr. Ric Flair. So Shane's ready. I'm ready. You people are ready. Well, Shane, are you ready?
We're ready.
I am ready. We are all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. There we are. Okay. All right. And there's the music. All rise. All right.
Here he comes.
It may seem like the WWE crowds were hotter 20 years ago than they are now for some reason.
Because they were.
Yes, that's true.
There were still people to care about. There were still wrestling stars.
And they were still doing wrestling stories.
Yes. Flair had just been busted open in the weeks prior. This was a rivalry that had been brewing since the Survivor Series, if not.
Yeah.
And not counting the years and years of the WCW, which Ric Flair so strongly represented, even though he had worked for Vince McMahon before. Uh-huh. Well, there's his son, Reed. That's
Reed's older daughter,
Conrad Thompson.
Yeah, I believe that's Mrs. Conrad, yes.
Yeah.
Hey. For all I know, Conrad was probably at that show, too. So it all works. It all comes together.
The Nature Boy.
Look how young Nature Boy looks.
Didn't he? Oh my goodness.
And if you want to, and if you think Rick looks young compared to how he looks now, check out his opponent.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him in a minute. It looks like Mike Chioda is your referee.
Okay, there you go. Nothing wrong with 2002 Mike Chioda is a good referee. 2002 Howard Finkel, still, you know, one of my all-time favorite ring announcers.
Yep. I think he's probably the best ever.
Yeah.
I tell you, I like, there's certain ring announcers I like, and other ones don't blend as well, but Fink is a great one. Oh, look at this guy. Good Lord Almighty.
It's an action figure.
It's like a cyborg. He had the best facial expressions of anybody in wrestling.
That's true. That's true. No arguing that.
Anybody who, I mean, this is one of the all-time great workers. I'm not in-ring workers. An in-ring worker is pretty shitty, but as a guy,
That's the one you get.
That's my free one.
That's your free one.
My beepoo.
All right. Okay. All right. There we go. All right. Yeah. The important thing is, here's something I can vouch for. If you don't know how to wrestle, at least figure out how to sell.
Yes. Yeah, and the great thing about Vince is, like, as we said, with the facial expressions, and you'll see a half a dozen different ones. Mm-hmm. When you can emote that easily and that quickly and switch from one facial presentation to another within a matter of a minute, that's a talented man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, his character work is top notch in this era. And you know what? If you've got to wrestle a match, you know, even a heavily gimmick match, and you're worried that you're not going to look great, go in there with Ric Flair.
Yes, look at him shooting the gun.
There you go. Yeah.
This is when Vince looked at his original face. Didn't look like his poor Vince looked. I mean, today it's just, I'm not trying to make fun, but.
Let's not make fun of my face compared to how I looked 20 years ago. Okay. It's not, time has not flattered anybody, you know, over the past 20 years with maybe a few exceptions.
Haven't watched this match in a long time, but this is a believable move from Vince.
Ooh, yeah. Vince with a big shoulder block. Yeah. yeah. And the strut. There you go. and he's got his tough skins jeans on. He's a manly man.
Absolutely. It's ridiculous though how physically, what a marvel he is. And here he's, what is he? He's 55 years old or something.
Yeah. He's older than I am now, which is frightening.
And his upper body. Now you're not seeing it all because he's wearing the black and the pants. But his upper body looks like a guy's like 30 years old. He's incredible.
It is unbelievable. It is a miracle of modern whatever
medicines.
Yes.
That boot didn't tickle. Right.
Shoulder tackle, pal. There you go.
You know, the thing is, the crowds today would crucify this match already.
Oh, yeah.
they would crucify it because it's the physicality of Vince isn't super crisp.
No.
Now he's going to bring it.
Yeah.
See, sometimes Vince, like in this situation here, Vince is selling is funny. It's like, uncharacteristic of what you would expect.
Let's see that's oh there you go. Back going to the
eye. There's nothing wrong with that in another sense because he's not a wrestler.
Yeah, I mean the thing is with this match, and I think people knew what to expect. Plus, you know, the crowd knows where this whole thing is going, and they, you know, and that's why they're here. They want to see it. You know?
They knew it's going to get ugly. It's, you know, it's going to turn bloody.
Yeah.
And but there's a slow build to that.
They're not here to see you know, Tanahashi and Okada. Okay.
Yeah. Nor are they here to see Flair and Steamboat.
No, that's true. Boom! All right. Yep. Boom! Boom! All right. Flair's walking him through this. This is, you know.
He did the flip for you in the corner.
However, the problem is that, you know, you're working with the one guy who hasn't seen that many Ric Flair matches. That's the problem here.
That's the crazy part. It's like Vince McMahon knows that Ric Flair is somebody, but he doesn't really understand what a somebody Flair is.
I mean, he saw Flair work, you know, because Flair worked for him in 91, 92, 93. Oh, yeah. Keep off. Okay. There we go. See, that's good because that's brilliant because they marked the scene, you know. I mean, they put the sign there saying, you know, with the label saying, here, Vince, grab that one, you know.
The one says, keep off.
Yep.
is he bleeding yet? I'm surprised.
No, not yet. Gotta come up with a better shot. You know, once again, a better. Oh, there you go.
Now he's got it.
Now he's got
it. He'll come up with it now.
The camera following Vince is the giveaway, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, they left those trash cans under the ring again. Gosh
it's
darn it.
Funny, the number of people, you know, what? Through the years, they say, well, I never saw him do it. And I always see him do it. But of course, in my eyes, train differently. Yeah. You know?
Right.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Boom.
Down yeah, I mean, goes, if you don't know what to look for, that's, you know, that's fine. Plus, if you're just trying to enjoy the match, you know, for crying out loud.
I always love the, oh, wow, yeah. I always love the, how it just happened this past week where I guess Vince criticized somebody for using the blade in AEW or something. So it's always funny right. How Vince uses it when it's convenient for Vince and when it's not, it's barbaric.
Yep, that's pretty much been the whole story, yeah. Ooh. All right, here we go. Oh. All right. And let's go around the ring. There we go. Oh, man.
He's one of the all-time great bleeders.
That's right. Well, you know, the old saying was Ric Flair could have a great match with a broomstick.
Yeah.
Big slam. And Flair, I mean, oh, look at that. Grabs the camera from Megan.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
This is the setup spot here. I like this one. Yeah, how do you work this thing?
Hey, pal, how do you work this thing? Then we realize Vince doesn't know how to work a camera. Look at that. Yeah.
She always fumbled it.
Yeah, well, hey.
Nice catch.
Is she the one who was a volleyball player? Or was that Ash? Or was that Ashley?
That was Ashley.
Yeah. All right. Boom. But people used to say that Flair gave underneath guys too much in matches. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, who would think that Flair is giving Vince McMahon too much, and you know, yeah, but it's his company.
Yeah. If you're going to give too much, give it to the boss.
Give it to the guy who's signing your checks. Yeah.
Because one of the things that you can usually sell that with a great knee drop. Yeah.
There we go. Oh my goodness. He actually made contact that second one.
Yeah. Work that leg though. Vince is, you can't really argue with the psychology of Vince McMahon's matches. Even though most of them ended up in this garbage fight type stuff. But I mean, in the basic storytelling elements, he's always pretty well on the line.
Yeah. When they first decided Vince McMahon was going to be in the ring during wrestling matches, they got him up, they got him into a crash course. You know, they had him going to work out and training with Tom Pritchard. And, I don't recommend anybody, do the quickie version of learning pro wrestling. But if you have to, that'd be probably the guy I'd want to learn it from.
Yeah, because Tom Pritchard's an amazing trainer.
And I think, when did we, 2007 is when we did the show with Tom Pritchard. Yeah.
Yes, him and Beautiful Bobby.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a very fun night.
Up on YouTube somewhere. That match, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Vince McMahon taking Ric Flair to school.
That's right.
Working the legs.
Vince getting the strut, yeah. I mean, yeah, plus at this point, Vince has worked with Austin. And Vince has wrestled, probably most of the main guys at this point, so.
And this is all the slow build to getting... Getting the juice on Vince, and so to speak,
exactly.
Getting it out of him. Oh yeah,
big spot here. Oh, he's gonna because everybody has to apply the figure four to Ric Flair. I mean,
Yes, and Vince McMahon.
It's the law.
That's his match.
Yeah, and I hear Vince McMahon taught the Miz how to do the figure four.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Folks,
I know.
this isn't the Bruce Pritchard show. Don't like write down things that we say and make stories out of them. These are the jokes. Okay. All right. Here we go. Yeah, Kyoto's very good here. There he goes.
Turn it over.
Oh, there we go. Come on, Vince. Sell it. There we go. Good job. Unfortunately, Vince did not tear a quad there, so that's good. Because that could be awkward. Try to remember which leg you're selling, Vince. There we go. All right. Good job, man. Here we go. what's Mr. McMahon doing? Oh, look. He's got a pipe. How do you know that lead pipe would be at ringside? Oh, that's right. It's his company. Yeah, he can... But then again, it's a no rules match, so.
And that's okay.
Yeah. But it makes you wonder why Ric Flair, the dirtiest player in the game, doesn't have, there you go. Speaking of which.
He'll go.
Yep. But you knew that was coming, though, so. Okay. Nope. Wait.
I think Vin. I hear something crazy.
What's that?
I think that up until he started throwing the chops, Flair was still holding the blade in his fingers.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy.
It's a little thing.
He thought he might need to use it again here. I mean, just in
he
case.
He probably used it several times already.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
Trying to make sure that he didn't lose what he had.
Right.
It's not uncommon. But it was just the way his hand was positioned.
Okay. Ah, those monitors.
Oh, yes. They got rid of those things. Now they have iPads. They're cheaper.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, you want those monitors because, I guess you wanted those monitors from that era because they're really hard to break.
Yeah. But until you broke one, you had to replace it with $4,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. The days before HDTV, yes. Yes, kids, they didn't used to have flat screens. I know that's hard to believe.
All the TVs were curved. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Now he's opening up.
And you might be wondering why people have cameras in the front row. Well, back in the day, people didn't have cameras on their cell phones, and most of them didn't have cell phones.
This is how different the world is. Isn't that crazy? You're right about that. I had just gotten a cell phone the year before.
Yep. That's about time. Yeah, that's about the time I got mine. That's,
you know, when I got divorced.
I think I've got mine, and yeah, well, there you go.
Vince has been opened up now here.
He's been lacerated.
Those punches of flares were helping that, by the way.
Yep. Oh, here we go. There you go. Take a picture, honey.
Return the favor.
Yep.
Wonder if she still has those photos. They have to be great.
Oh, yeah. Paul, I mean, Conrad has those photos now. I mean, come on. You're not going to be able to get hold of those.
Yeah, Conrad has custody of the photos.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll put them up on his site or something. I don't know. All right, but yeah, come on. Come on, Vince. Back off. There we go.
See, that's again, he sells funny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here, Father's going to help him.
Yeah. And the bloodletting continues. The there people love him. Right. The mule kick.
Yay.
Remember they did this similar match about later on that summer on Raw?
Yeah, they did.
And that was how they concluded the Ric Flair's the part owner storyline.
Yeah, didn't want that.
Got to beat on Monday Night Raw. Uh-huh. Look out. You're going to take a pipe to the head, Vinny.
Oof.
He just crumbled. That one, I like the way he sold that.
Yeah.
When you get whacked in the head, you take a regular wrestling bump. That looks so stupid.
Right. Try to make it look like you got hit. Make it look like you got hit with a pipe. Yay.
Yeah. And now he's trying to. And he's got it. He's got it.
There it is. Cinched in. He's nowhere to go.
He's up in the backwards walking crab position. That's how you know the hold's locked in. And he's giving it up.
He's tapping out. He had a tap. Woo!
An Asia boy.
Yes, Ric Flair gets the victory over Vince McMahon. Now there were no stakes in this match. They weren't putting up portions of the company against each other. Just pride on the line. This is how they were going to get to the roster split. You know, they couldn't work together, so they had to divide they had to split the brands.
Yes. And the memorable brand extension. Nothing says anger and torment and hostilities between sides like the word brand extension.
Well, now, just to be fair, Shane, this is the first brand extension we're talking about.
That was the first brand extension.
Yes, they came together, you know, they joined together, came apart, you know, many times since then.
Yeah. Yeah. We went from the Monday Night War to the brand extension.
Yep. And wonder why people didn't quite have the same feeling.
Yeah, there was still a lot of meat on the bone in 2002. We were still a month away from the NWO guys arriving and Hogan and Goldberg in the years to come.
There's Michael Cole.
I point out the ref, you point out the announcer. We'll play it like that the rest of the way.
Hi. Okay, Stephanie's got this. Hi.
Never really used to think Stephanie was that hot, but I look at her now. She was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Oh, I never cared for her as a TV performer, but
well, I mean, she got better. But
some of this with her is just too much of the rib on the square type stuff.
I know. I know. All right, here we go. Hey, wonder who that is. This will be next week, by the way, the 2002 Royal Rumble. Hope everybody is here for this. Yes. Yeah, this isn't going to be awkward at all, by the way. What? There we go.
Now, this is the year after he had the mistake of a lifetime heel turn and joined Vince, right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because he's only a couple months away from going home. Believe it or not, you're probably...
Yes, I know. I remember the whole thing very well.
Yeah, this is amongst that last handful of wrestling matches of Stone Cold's career.
This is 5 months before he, before they got sent home.
He came back and worked with Eric Bischoff, and he worked with The Rock.
Yep.
He did a little. This was probably amongst the last 30 to 50 of Steve Austin's actual professional matches.
Yep. And I want to say this is his last Royal Rumble,
I
think he worked in 2003.
Royal Rumble in 2003, and now we're.
Here's a crazy concept, Shane. There's one undisputed WWE, WWF champion, and it's Chris Jericho. Yes. And he's going against The Rock, and they have history.
And they're going to tell us all about it here and now.
Oh, my goodness. Jericho is the undisputed champion.
See, I guess my timeline was off on this. Like, the following month, Jericho wrestled The Rock and Steve Austin on the same night, right? For the follow-up pay-per-view to the Royal Rumble.
That happened. He wrestled Rock and Austin on the same night back in December of 2001.
Okay, see, now I thought that was the same pay-per-view that the NWO debuted on, which would have been February 2002.
No,
I thought those matches took place on the same cards. Well, apparently I'm wrong. But
right. Are you thinking of a different match between Rock and Jericho? Or maybe between Austin and Jericho, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I am.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we've watched a lot of wrestling, Shane, and sometimes it runs together. Now,
it is really
the fact that I was covering a lot of this for the Torch, sort of helps, but, doesn't help. Sure. I mean, when we're covering the current stuff in 20 years, I'm not going to be much. I'm going to have be like,
I'm going to be looking.
I'm going to be going back and looking up everything actually in 20 years. So
I'm not going to be able to tell you anything that happened during these last. Yeah. Oh geez, what was it? 22. I mean, except for the major events.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to tell you all the details. I can still give really good details about the 80s. Pretty good details about the 90s. Details about the 2000s, but now nothing. But it's not the same game anymore either.
Nope. Yep. Right. The Rock takes Jericho seriously.
And as well he should. He's the undisputed champion.
They went back and forth in 2001. So this has been set up. We're ready to go. There's your challenger.
There's only been a handful of guys to touch this guy's level of charisma.
I know.
I mean, it's just amazing how, and you look at him in retrospect, and he was so young.
Yeah. I mean, we thought we were going to have him for like years.
Forever.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much the end of his full-time run.
Right.
It's amazing.
And I mean, that's, and that was by choice, and it was by, you know, it was by WWF's choice. It was by WWE's choice. It was by, you know, it was by, you know, Vince and Stephanie's choice, really.
They didn't renew the contract at one point.
And I'm like, yeah, they could have had Rock on some sort of retainer deal, you know, forever, if they wanted to. I mean, you know, I mean, he wouldn't have been there every week. I mean, maybe you only get him like, you know, several times a year, but you know, just the ability to be able to call on him and have him show up, that's kind of a big deal, folks.
Yeah.
They messed with his, you know, he's a loyal company guy, and they messed with that loyalty, and, you know, now he's like, oh, well, got to go, you know.
And he became a far bigger, I'd
love to, but got to go do another movie, got to make eight figures, got an ex-wife and kids and stuff to support.
And you know what? He's still the fact that he has come back and does come back periodically for things. It's been a few years now.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, it'll be just as the problem being is that when he comes back, if he comes back next time, who's going to be there for him to face? Because, again, as we so often talk about, this is a star-driven business, and a business doesn't have very many stars.
Yep, it doesn't.
Fewer stars now than ever.
And that's also by design, apparently. So.
Yeah, which is craziness. And I guess they got their own mindset here. They always have. But they still back then created stars, knew how to create stars. Mm. Now they, okay, two defunct belts that look better than the ones they use today.
Well, yes, that's also true, in our opinion.
And I was never big on that version of the WWF belt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen worse, you know.
Oh my Lord, yes.
Yeah.
For example, today's champion.
Oh, gosh.
They're terrible looking, and they look alike. There's nothing to differentiate because red and blue. Right. Yeah.
Oh, boy, do you have the red belt or the blue belt? Yeah. I can't wait to spend... I spent my whole life waiting to get the red belt. The biggest, richest prize in our sport, the red belt.
Yeah, that's another thing that bugs me. It's like, you know, no matter how much you love this or how much you wanted to be here, when you go on TV and talk about how this has been your lifelong dream is just to be part of this and you're honored to be here and all that kind of stuff right away, what do you, I think sap. I don't think star. I think sap.
Yeah, but they don't want outlaws and renegades and, you know. Yeah.
Go out here and pander to us, not
guys who are bigger than guys who are bigger than the brand, you know.
Yeah.
People
pander to your bosses nonstop so we can come out here and make you look like an even more impotent loser. Oh, Rock off to a hot start here.
There
going
we go.
For it. Going back to his
almost
heritage
quick finish right there,
Samoan
folks.
Drop. That was a half Samoan drop, and Jericho's going to get out of here.
Right. Yep. Smart.
You know, stooge off, he takes a dump, as they used to call it in wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
literally saying that he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we figured The Rock wouldn't be around forever, you know, and at this point, because he's already, you know, the Scorpion King has already been big and all that. But I mean, you know, the guy who'd still be a part of the business in 20 years is going to be Chris Jericho. Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's not the worst thing ever to have guys come and go.
I know.
I think that's something that gets forgotten. It's like, you know, the longer you're around, the less appreciated you're going to be. I mean, I figured this out. Just being a guy who worked on the independents for years and years. It's like, if I'm someplace every month, sooner or later, they're going to run out of things for me to do. So once in a while, it's okay for me to go away.
I know.
And
I mean, Shane, you know, I mean, we did this together for a while. Well, you know, after a while, you ran out of stuff for you to do.
Yeah. I mean, you do. It's like, something has to change. I mean, I got to be gone. It's like,
oh. There we go.
I don't know. Here, you're early going here. I'm kind of. I'm thinking Jericho. I'm thinking Jericho's hurt. He's off by like a half step. I mean,
it could be there. You know, they had a much tougher schedule 20 years ago than they do now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a lack of effort, and they're both over with the crowd, which helps. At least it did back then because they overlooked such stuff. Again, I don't know. I mean, if you're off by even a pinch now, you know, they crucify you. You know, unless you're a darling, and then they think everything you do.
But you know, once you get people conditioned to the mindset that it's fake, then they start looking for the stuff. You know.
Yeah, and then they start criticizing you because you can't make it look real.
Yep. Well, hey.
Which again was also never a Rocky specialty, just to be completely honest.
It was the character you get swept up in it.
He's big. He's good looking. He's cocky. He's got a walk and a talk, and you know.
I mean, I could tell you, they'd love to. I mean, who wouldn't love to have, you know? I mean, you don't think Vince or Tony Khan would love to have, you know, this guy from 2002 back and, you know, in their company right now? Yeah. Just a guy who could, just a guy who could work this well? Yeah. All right, here we go.
You're breaking up on me.
What, I am? I don't know, I can... Okay, can you hear me? Hello. Hello, can I still be heard?
Lou.
Hello. Hold on.
Now you can. We have a little interruption problem.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. Is that better? Yep.
Going for the walls
walls of Jericho. The lion tamer, whatever you want to call him. I have no idea what he calls it now. So.
Yeah, I don't watch. I haven't watched a Jericho match since Kenny Omega.
Well, it doesn't, he doesn't really need to have many. He doesn't have many. Doesn't need to have a lot of matches anymore.
Yeah. And that's probably, I mean, I've always been a fan. He's always been an admirer. But.
I mean, they're, one of the things with AEW, they're, they are. I mean, they have the older guys there, but, you don't always, you don't see them every week. It took me and I'm behind on that too, but it took me like several weeks before I figured out, oh, wait, Christian is actually the manager of Jurassic Express.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, they sort of, they've worked around it. They hired a guy who's like a guy who's like a WWE Hall of Famer, and they brought him in to take over for Marco Stunt. And okay.
And then
they talked Impact to the champion, which is the great part. But anyway.
Yeah. I read about it more than I watch it, and it's like sometimes I want to watch it, and then I don't, and I watch a couple minutes of it, and I see why I don't watch it.
Okay, well, I read about last week's show. I'm like, oh, okay, so the big feud's going to be the title feud's going to be Adam Page and Lance Archer. Okay, good luck with that.
You can't wait. We're gonna make him a star.
I like Adam Page. I like Lance Archer. Lance has done podcasts with me a bunch of times. He's a great guy. But I'm like, okay, well, good luck. Make it. It seems like something you're doing, to tide people over until you get to the feud you're gonna get to, trying to make money.
Well, see, that's also a thing that's changed about the business now. It's like if you're really the people who are really following it, really follow it, and the casual people don't follow it at all. Yeah. But the people who are conditioned and know, they know that there's certain arches and certain times of the year that certain things are going to happen, and everything else is just kind of a filler until you get there.
Right.
When you condition your audience that nothing big's going to happen until this time of year or that time of year to build up this show or that show, you're telling them there's a lot of stuff they can skip. Rocky really laying it to him here. Yeah, Jericho fighting up to fall to the floor.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, WWE has conditioned fans for decades now, pretty much to the point that anything between the Royal Rumble and anything that's not between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania doesn't matter. And I'm not kidding.
Until July, because you got SummerSlam.
SummerSlam matters, yeah.
Yeah, a very short period of time. But you're right. It's like they and that's also part of their business model where they've got events over instead of stars. Yeah. We'll sell a certain amount of tickets because it's SummerSlam or WrestleMania. And you're trying to keep that fresh. Well, think about it. Think about the idea of trying to keep fresh now that WrestleMania is going, 38th year, SummerSlam.
And it's going to be, and it's going to be
34 years old.
And there's basically two WrestleManias back-to-back nights. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, when did WWE become an eFed from 1999? It's like,
Yes. Yes. Correct.
I can say that because I ran eFeds in 1999.
Yeah, that's good. Ready to say.
Yeah. All right. He's got him. Here he goes. Going for the moonsault.
He got it.
Yep. I mean, he gets him. I mean, that's the thing Hunter and his buddies always used to give Jericho crap about is how his stuff looked. You know, his stuff hurt worse than it looked.
That's the way it usually is.
Yeah. Well, easy. He hit both of those, though.
He's giving it to Earl.
Right.
Don't take that, Earl.
Yep, that's right. Earl says, I used to work for that company. I know how to do this bit.
Rocky barely on his feet here as Jericho jumps.
Suckered him in. Here we go. Time for the scorpion. Well, sort of.
Yeah, the half scorpion.
Yep, that's it.
So he's getting rid. Yeah, like he's trying to sit on a porta pot.
Oh, wait a minute. Uh oh. No.
Lance Storm's
coming out.
I don't remember this. Oh, Jericho's tapping. Oh my God.
Lance Storm comes in and makes the save.
When he had that hairdo, I mean, he looked like he was Trevor, the guy running the head shop in your neighborhood. Yeah. Rock bottom.
There it is. Jericho hits Rock with his own move.
One, two.
No.
That ain't gonna quite do it.
All right, Nick Patrick's running off the Canadians.
We've been doing that in groups for years. Yeah. Whatever will happen now.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice. I mean, it's got to suck to be under that, but you know, nice light. You know.
Yeah, it didn't connect.
Yeah.
Oh my.
You know this was coming.
When the Night Flyer did this at WrestleMania, I about peed my pants.
Oh.
Over the top rope. If he would have been in the Rumble, he would have won it.
Yep. All right. That's how it works at the Royal Rumble. Every man for himself. Okay. Nope. All right. So the Canadians interfering didn't work.
I was going to say, I think maybe that came a little too early. Oh, my goodness.
Well, as a swerve, it's a good one. People, you know, people got conditioned to the crappy finish, and yeah. Here we go. Well,
another monitor, another table.
Oh no! Well, the title's on the line, and this is not a no disqualification match. And Lawler's smart enough to get the crown out of the way.
Yeah, maybe Crown Jerry. But you know what I never understood is, like, why would you move the monitor? I mean, if you were just going to slam somebody and try to seriously hurt them, why would you not just slam them on the monitors?
Well, because you have to pay a damage deposit on the monitors if you hurt them, if you break them. So.
Wow, you understand the logic behind the real fight versus fake fight concept here. You can break the table, but don't cripple your bitter rival by slamming him on a 40-pound monitor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can do whatever you want in that ring to your opponent, but God help you if you mess with Bob Keller's microphone. Yeah. I just got that fixed.
He's blocking the rock bottom, going for his zone now.
Oh, it goes forward. Here we go.
Exploding tables. These two brave warriors.
Yes.
Battling it out here on the floor.
I mean, yeah, but it got to the point where finally, you know, somebody had to say, you know, we can only destroy these tables once per pay-per-view.
Yeah, not during this era, they weren't. Yeah. Yugos Savinovich was absolutely stunned by it because it didn't happen to his table.
Yeah, I know. He's like a minor upset there. If you had that at your prop bet in Vegas, the American table getting taken out before the Spanish table, I think it paid off at 5-1.
Yes. Who was Hugo's partner? Was it Carlos
Cabrera?
Cabrera.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say Carlos Morales, so that's not right.
All right, he's getting Jericho back in there.
And Yugos Savinovich. Also known from his run as the announcer of the World Wrestling Council in Puerto Rico.
Right.
Had a cover two.
No.
Back door Jericho open real slow on the count there by Hebner.
Uh-huh. All right. It's absolutely hellacious. As you know, Shane.
Slobbery Docker.
Okay. Oh, what do we have here? Is that a pad? Uh-oh. I think we're going to get another rock bottom.
Setting up and waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. Fight now. Oh, here we go. This is WWE main event style.
Absolutely. Use the finishers, block the finishers.
Right. Build to the finishers.
Yeah, heaven forbid. He's really got him now.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how Rock's going to get out of this one. Oh, look at that. He did it.
Oh.
He did it. He made it to the ropes. Oh, wow. Oh, nope. Oh, here we go.
Ooh. He's rich inside for one there. Mm-hmm. Almost had it.
Almost.
If he secured that second leg, he might have won the title.
Okay. Yep. Fussing at the referee. Come on, Jericho.
We're getting deep into it here. About time for a ref bump. Yep.
Sure. Hey, good call.
You could just tell by the, could you tell by the positioning, the way he was, the way Earl, he kind of stepped in. I mean,
right.
He's
on the periphery. He's on the periphery, and then he moves it. Yeah, that's the giveaway.
Center stage. Yep. And
here we go. Wait. Who else is coming out?
Patrick.
Nick Patrick. Come on, Nick.
Ew. And a kick out on the rock.
That's an awfully spry referee running.
That's no doubt.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yes. I don't think we ever had a referee who could pull that one off.
No, we sure didn't. Who were some of our referees through the years? I was trying to think about the early days.
Yeah. Referee Rick Weed, obviously. He might have been.
Rick Weed, yeah.
Maybe he could have.
Yeah. Patrick Lawson, the big guy. He was bigger than most of the guys he was refereeing matches for.
All right, here we go. He's got the DDT.
And Buddha referee, though.
Nick Patrick's like, no.
Yeah, he was playing that role there, a tie over from his WCW days as like a stooge ref.
No, well, why do you run it? Well, what are you doing here, Nick? Why'd Nick run off Storm and Christian? Oh, here we go.
Oh man.
Oh.
Rocky may have just settled an old argument between his father and the assassin. Oh,
here we go.
Here it comes.
The most electrifying move.
Absolutely.
Sports Entertainment Today. Yep. Boom.
Bam.
That's it. And
when people say the elbow isn't over, this is the guy. What about Rock?
Yeah. we're fresh out of referees. Oh man.
The ref's not there, but the Rock's already scored the moral victory here. I think right. No matter what the result happens here, if he goes home without the title, I think the people are going to know that he was screwed. Oh!
Oh, yes. If only we, yeah.
Look at this.
If only that had been the first time we'd seen that in the evening.
Yes.
Oh, the feet on the ropes. Not the feet on the ropes. Not that, anything but that.
Jericho escapes. But you know what?
Yeah.
That's a very uncomplicated pro wrestling finish.
It is.
Alternate. And nothing wrong with that. It left heat for next month. It left because we're coming back.
That's right. I got to take it around the horn. So, you know. Oh.
Yep. We're coming back next month's pay-per-view or something.
Yeah.
Or something's going to happen here. But they're trying to
something on TV.
Yeah. Oh, they want to keep heat on Jericho because they know where they're going.
Right.
And that's something they don't do anymore because, well, they don't know where they're going anymore.
Well, that's true, too. It keeps changing. Unreal. Okay. Let's hold on. We're not done yet.
Superstar Drew McIntyre. You wouldn't do your makeup for your wedding.
What's that?
That's where I'm at. Drew McIntyre's doing the commercial with.
I don't have any Peacock commercials. Okay. We're getting the please don't try this at home, folks.
Oh.
Please don't try this at home. WWF.
Oh, the thing that they used to have on the beginning of the DVD.
Okay. Oh, and here we go. That's and meanwhile, back at the announce table. JR and King have picked up their notes and they're sitting in chairs.
Yep. They got 10 seconds worth of commercials.
Still the undisputed champion, Shane.
Yes.
Let's take you back to see what's going on over at WWF New York in Times Square. Oh, yes. What is happening in WWF New York in Times Square? It's the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Else?
Who was at that point probably still so pilled up he could barely sit.
Well, he's got a big comeback. He's got a big comeback in 6 months or so, so he better be.
Yeah, from that surprisingly awesome SummerSlam match.
Yep. Right. Okay, let's have the predictions. Right. Yep. Right. All right. He's going to pick either The Undertaker or Steve Austin. Wish you were here, Sean.
Yeah, Sean wearing his Texas flag shirt.
Yep, Times Square is the perfect place for it. Yep.
In front of what appears to be 100 people.
All right, well, we'll get the, well, let's do the Royal Rumble preview video, which, of course, yes. Oh, my goodness. There's only one Royal Rumble. Somebody's going to go to WrestleMania. One of these men. Who could possibly? Oh, it's the return of Triple H, remember? Yes.
It's a beautiful day.
The game is back. Oh, okay. Well, he comes back and, oh my goodness, you get a pedigree and you get a pedigree.
It's a Mr. Perfect within this one.
That's right.
During his final.
Austin's an RVD and Angle and Booker.
My lord.
It's I think it's better to have all these guys than, you know, to like sell it on the surprises.
I think so too. Star power. When you rely so much on bringing 3 and 4 people back a year for surprise pops, what you're really saying is our current crew is not over.
Yep. That is what they're saying. Test and Godfather and there we go. All right. Austin.
Dead man.
Ah.
Dead man.
Oh my goodness.
Are we doing the Rumble?
No, we're gonna stop it after this. I mean, that's a long run. 2002 Rumble is a long Rumble.
Yeah, as I recall it, yeah.
It's going to take more than an hour, but, you know. Yes. All right. Here we are. So it's going to be one of these major stars. DDP. That's a wild one in terms of who's in it. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of it's an eclectic mix, we shall say.
All right, so we're gonna call it a we're gonna pause it here. 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 16 seconds, with the sign for some Jew guy. Literally.
Oh, I saw that. That's right on the sign.
Yeah.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me. Biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
Okay, but next week, yeah, is the 30-man WWF Royal Rumble for 2002. And 20 years ago, everybody's in it. And Austin and Undertaker and Big Show and Angle and Mr. Perfect and, geez, DDP, gosh. It's very star-studded, you got to admit.
Absolutely. Right at the point where it was within the next year or two, a lot of that star power was going to be gone. But actually, within the last 6-8 months,
yep,
Austin would be gone. Rock would be gone.
A lot of big changes are going to happen in that in 2002, as I recall it. So
we're going to get DF out.
Yep. So don't forget, we'll be back next week with that. We will have, we might have Shane, we might have one of the other guest hosts in the rotation taking that. Thank you, as always, for tuning in and checking us out. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. Shane is on Facebook, and Shane is also on YouTube. Tell people how to watch your show.
You can watch me on Shane Shatters Presents Classic Indies, all the great independent wrestling action from the last 30, 40 years and beyond. The Independent Rewind is where to find us, and it comes out every Thursday at approximately 8 a.m., except for once a month. It's Wild Card Wednesday. We press the button and play a match.
All right. And, of course, you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. Let them know that you're a fan of Wayback Playback. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Ric Flair, Vince McMahon, The Rock, Chris Jericho, or Stephanie McMahon-Levesque, visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer. Or go download your local library app, because they're all in books. Shane, do you remember the tagline?
Same way back time, same way back channel.
Good enough, folks. Next week, same way back time, same playback channel. And we're looking forward to doing this with you, getting ready for the 2022 Royal Rumble by reliving a very well-known and interesting Rumble from the past, which we do every year at this time. So... until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.